Well, hi folks, I'm Richard Searle, and welcome to week 4 of our podcast course on mindfulness, meditation, and reflection for leaders and managers. This week, we're going to be focusing on listening and dialogue and how we can use this in our leadership, and also on what I'm calling mindful listening. And we'll also be examining further our experience of awareness and the nature of awareness. But before we get started, let's just do a short breathing exercise to let go of work, let go of everything else going on in our life, and to help us to be present for the podcast. So if you could just sit up straight, perhaps in your chair or wherever you are at the moment. Maybe you can shut your eyes if that's appropriate and join me. And all I want you to do is to take some deep breaths in and out, watching your breath and saying quietly to yourself as you breathe in, breathing in, I know I'm breathing in, breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. And keep doing that. Keep watching your breath. Some deep breaths in, some deep breaths out. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. And now as you're taking your breath in and you're watching your breath go out through your nostrils, say to yourself, breathing in, calm, breathing out, stress. Breathing in, calm, breathing out, stress. Breathing in, calm, and breathing out, stress. Great. So I just wanted to briefly respond to one question that I received during the week. Somebody was asking me, given the session that I did about dealing with strong, difficult emotions and stressful events that wake us up in the night, what's my recommendation when it comes to dealing with the emotion fear? Now, it's not uncommon to experience fear in its more extreme forms. It becomes panic, and we've even seen some of that over the last few weeks, whether it's buying items and hoarding items from supermarkets, or whether it's the overnight long queues of unemployed people at CityLink. So at one extreme with fear, there's panic. At the other end, it's a bit more subtle, but it's around worry and anxiety. And in between, it's all really about fear. And the thing about fear is that there's actually no need to be afraid of fear. It's a difficult emotion. It can be an unpleasant emotion, but there's no need to be afraid of it. And I'm attaching an article to this podcast that I wrote. It happens to be the most popular, most downloaded article I've ever written, which is ironic given the topic is fear. And it's called Courage and Fear in Leadership. And that examines in more detail ways of approaching and dealing with fear. Also, while I'm talking about it, I've downloaded also with the podcast, a second article which is appropriate to this topic today, listening. It happens to be my second most downloaded article that I've ever written, and it's titled, Could It Be As Simple As Listening? And I guess while I'm giving a plug to other references, my colleague Rob Burke has also added a terrific blog this week, featuring Sahail Iniatullah on the topic of future after the pandemic, and you may want to check that out. So today I want to explore listening and dialogue a little bit, and I want to talk about what I call the Holy Trinity of listening. So in leadership, we have quite a lot of focus on doing, understandably, and we also have a lot of focus on speaking, understandably. But in some ways, listening can be just as powerful as doing and speaking. And there's lots of complexity and subtlety to listening. It's nowhere near as straightforward as we often assume. So the Holy Trinity that I'm talking about listening is that you can think of listening in terms of listening to, listening for, and listening from. So what do I mean about that? Well, at its most basic level, when it comes to listening, it's worth examining what you're like at listening to other people, situations, and events. So at one level, we might say, well, the obvious things to listen to are what people are saying, thoughts, ideas, stories. And actually, if you examine this, you might discover that you're not totally efficient when it comes to listening to those things. That in experiments that I often do on my course, lots and lots of senior managers have trouble repeating a sentence that somebody just said to them. If you don't believe me about this, I have an exercise that I'm inviting you to do during this week, and that is ask some of your family and friends what you are like as a listener and see what response you get. My general rule is that if people aren't telling you that you're a great listener, generally, then you can pretty much take for granted you're not a great listener. There are other things we can listen to, obviously, other than ideas and stories and speaking. And when I ask people on my courses what they might be, we get lots of ideas. You can listen to people's body language, etc. You can listen to what they're not saying as well. There are other things we can listen to, and some of us are not very good at listening to some of these other very important things. And one of the really important categories is the emotion and feeling and passion behind what others are communicating with us. Now, marketers will tell you, great communicators will tell you that in many ways, emotion communicates more than ideas and is more influential than ideas. So listening to the emotion, and again, you could ask your friends, your family, how well are you? How good are you? Or your colleagues, if you're having contact with your colleagues on a regular basis at the moment, how good are you at picking up on their emotions and their feelings when they're communicating with you? This is just one level of listening to, but I'm suggesting that we're actually quite inefficient, a lot of us, at this level. And that inefficiency costs us, both in our personal relationships, but in our leadership. There is a second type of listening, which I'm calling listening for. So we not only listen to people, but we're always listening for. We always have a certain filter happening. Now, what we listen for tends to have a projective quality to it, and we tend, to some extent at least, to see what we listen for. We get what we listen for. So you would have all had this experience where maybe you go to buy a new car, you think, oh, I'll buy something different, I'll buy a white Civic. There's not many of them around anymore. I hardly ever see white Civics, so I want to be different. And then you go out on the road in your new white Civic, and for days on end you see hundreds of white Civics on the road. You didn't see any earlier, but now you're looking for them, you're listening for them, and there's lots of them. So there's a projective quality to what we listen for. I'm inviting you to actually notice what you tend to listen for. And I'm going to suggest that a lot of us listen for automatically, without being very aware of it, quite cheap things. We listen for, is this right or is this wrong? Do I agree with this or do I disagree with this? Do I like this or do I not like this? Can I use this or can I not use this? Even if you listen to your own internal conversation, I sometimes catch this question that I'm asking myself, what is wrong at the moment? It's that automatic, this what we're listening for. The problem about those sorts of ways of listening, and don't believe me, I'm inviting you to examine this week. That's part of my exercise, is to see if you can catch what you're typically listening for, particularly with others. The problem with it is that it's quite cheap. It's actually very hard for others to express themselves well, to communicate themselves fully, or to show themselves fully to us. Now, this is important, obviously, in our close personal relationships, and it turns out that often that's where we listen most cheaply, but it's also incredibly important in our leadership, where part of our job is to help develop and grow and bring out the strengths and the abilities of the people that we're leading, if we're tending to listen for cheap things about them. There are much more valuable things that we could be listening for and we could train ourselves to listen for. We could be listening for what is the nugget of gold in what this person is saying to me. What is this person contributing to me? How could I contribute to this person in this conversation? These are all quite powerful things to listen for. So we can, if we become more aware of this, start to choose what we listen for as leaders. So again, I'm inviting you as an exercise during this week to take one of those more powerful things to listen for, such as what's the nugget of gold? and try it out with some people and see what happens. See if you actually start to discover nuggets of gold. Okay, I want to keep examining, listening and dialogue more, but I also want us to examine awareness some more and experience awareness some more. So let's take a break from that topic and let's do a short meditation. So perhaps if you could sit up again, join me, take your posture, close your eyes if you're willing to. Let go of all that topic and conversation I was just talking about. Take some deep breaths in, some deep breaths out. Now, bring your attention to the darkness in front of your eyes. If the eyes are shut, notice the darkness there. There might be some light filtering through, you might be able to see, but it's dark. And see if you can kind of relax into that darkness, fall into the darkness. Now, bring your attention to any sounds that are happening at the moment. No need to comment. You don't even have to label the sounds, but see if you can hear sounds that are happening where you are at the moment. And I'll stop speaking for a while, and I just want you to listen to the sounds. Okay, very good. So you're breathing, you're watching the darkness in front of your eyes, you're hearing sounds. Now I want you to bring your attention to some of your body sensations. So if you can bring your attention down to your feet and notice how your feet feel at the moment, the contact between your feet and the floor, your feet and your socks. Just run your attention over your feet, notice your feet. You might even notice that slight pull of gravity as your feet sink into the floor. Now bring your attention up to your stomach. Notice how your stomach feels at the moment. Any sensations happening in your stomach, you don't need to label them even, but you can. But just notice, how does your stomach feel at the moment? Now bring your attention up to your shoulders. Run your attention right along your shoulders, up your neck. Notice what sensations are going on there at the moment. You don't need to label them. You don't need to change them or fix them or do anything about them. I just want you to notice. But I also want you to notice that by giving them attention, can you relax your shoulders and your neck a little bit by just giving attention to the sensations? Can you relax them a little bit? Now bring your attention to your face, to your jaw. Maybe move your jaw around, let it relax a bit. Bring your attention into your eyes and your eye sockets, into your brow. Notice any sensations. Maybe you've got a little headache at the moment. Maybe it's all smooth and soft, whatever. And then just run your attention right down the front of your body, top to bottom. Then return to the top, run your attention right down the back of your body, noticing all the sensations that are occurring at the moment. So you've got sensations happening, your sounds happening, there's the darkness in front of your eyes. Now bring your attention back to your breathing. And I just want you to watch your breathing. I don't want you to change it. I don't want you to do it. But I'd like you to follow your breathing. Follow the air. It comes in through your nostrils. It goes out through your nostrils. You can follow it all the way if you like. In through your nostrils, down through your lungs, down to your diaphragm. You can feel the diaphragm moving, the lungs moving back up and out the same way out through your nostrils. Or you can just watch it at the tip of your nostrils as the air comes in, it comes out. It doesn't matter. It could be deep breaths. It could be slow. It could be short, sharp. I don't want you to worry about any of that. I just want you to watch the breath. So watch the breath come in through your nostrils. Watch the breath going out through your nostrils. Now, if there's all sorts of thoughts happening, you've gone off now, you're back in some project, you're back on some other topic or other, that's fine. But whenever you can, bring your attention back. So part of the value of what we're doing is bring our attention back to what we're choosing to put our attention on. So bring your attention back gently, kindly to yourself. You're watching your breathing at the moment. And I'm going to stop talking for a short while, and all I want you to do is watch your breathing. Just watching your breathing. If you've wandered off, come back whenever you can. Just watch your breathing and see if you can relax, enjoy it. Just watch it. Relax. Deep, restful peace. Just watching your breathing. Okay, now we want to add this final step. And it is a little bit tricky. You're watching your breathing. Now I want you to watch the watching. Notice that you are watching. Bring your awareness to the watching. See if you can bring your awareness to awareness itself. And I'll stop talking again for a short while and see if you can just rest in awareness, watching awareness, aware of watching. If you're finding difficulty, take yourself back, maybe to sounds, to breath, and then bring your awareness to the watching. Okay, very good. Great. So I want to continue this exploration of listening and dialogue, and awareness is very pertinent to the third type of listening in my so-called Holy Trinity of listening, because there's another type of listening which is, or quality to listening if you like, which is listening from. Now, again, it's worth observing where you listen from, both to others and to events that are occurring around you. It is not uncommon for us to listen from our own agenda, what we're trying to get out of this, achieve here, influence, etc. This is particularly the case for a manager and leader who's got a lot of goals and timelines and objectives that they need to deliver on. It's not unusual to do it as a leader, but it's not unusual to do it as a husband and a wife and a father and a mother, etc. From our own agenda, from our own identity, and from our own ego. Now, we're going to do some more work around identity and ego later in this series. But actually, one of the things I'm inviting you to observe is how often, how much we listen from those points of view. This, again, is not particularly empowering or liberating for others, and it is quite limiting in terms of the reality that we then have access to. There is a much more powerful place to listen from. I'm calling it mindful listening, and it's listening from that still place that we're exploring just then in awareness of awareness. Now, if you didn't experience stillness in that exercise we just did, we're going to do some terrific exercises in week 5 where we'll hopefully give you an even better chance of familiarizing yourself and experiencing stillness. No agenda, just present now. It's a very powerful way to listen to others. It allows them to be themselves, to expand, to grow in our presence, and it allows us to really appreciate others and to develop great gratitude for what's occurring in our own life. Listening from. This, of course, speaking and listening, doesn't just occur at an individual level, it also occurs at a collective level. And in collective dialogue is one of the ways that leaders can think about the development that's going on in terms of the teams and the organisations that they're leading. And there's an article of mine from the website that you can download freely called Leadership That Transforms Groups and Organisations, which explores dialogue in groups. Thinking about how groups and teams and organisations develop and how you can influence them to develop and perform at higher levels by influencing the quality of the dialogue that's occurring. And in that article, I explore 4 stages of dialogue that are quite typical in groups. Positional dialogue being number 2, normative dialogue being the typical starting place of groups and organisations, reflective dialogue being the 3rd stage, a much more constructive stage, quiet stage of dialogue where real issues can get addressed and brought out on the table, and the final, what I call the nirvana stage of dialogue, which is the generative stage of dialogue where groups and organizations become high performing and creative because of the nature of that dialogue. If you want to explore dialogue and how leaders use dialogue in its strict sense, speaking and listening, in its broader sense, how folks are communicating, relating, problem solving and creating together, then I recommend that you look at that article of mine on transforming leadership that transforms groups and organisations. Okay, so we need to bring this podcast to a conclusion. So in terms of activities during the week, I really recommend that you practice some of what we've been doing today, particularly the meditation, but also some of the other exercises that I've invited you to go and do, asking people about what you like as a listener, watching what it is that you typically listen for in certain relationships, etc. Do it for a minute, do it for three, do it for five, do it for 10, do whatever you can manage, but try to build up a regular practice. And next week, we will do some terrific exercises together, which will help us to really familiarize and experience stillness and silence and what that makes available to your leadership and to the rest of your life. So all the best. See you next week.